This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, my name is John Wells. This is the second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. From Radio Reading Services of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. In this hour, I will read the TV listings, the obituary notices, the horoscopes, the etc. page, and articles from the Nation and World section. We'll begin with the TV listings. On WLWT NBC at 2 p.m., Sherry. At 3 p.m., Jennifer Hudson. At 4 p.m., WLWT News 5 at 4. At 5 p.m., WLWT News 5 at 5 p.m. At 6 p.m., News. At 6:30, News. At 7 p.m., WLWT News. At 7:30, Access Hollywood. At 8 p.m., Chicago Med. At 9 p.m., Chicago Fire. At 10 p.m., Chicago PD. At 11 p.m., WLWT News. At 11:30, Tonight Show. On WCPO ABC at 2 p.m., General Hospital. At 3 p.m., The Kelly Clarkson Show. At 4 p.m., WCPO 9 News at 4. At 5 p.m., WCPO 9. At 5:30, WCPO 9. At 6 p.m., WCPO 9. At 6:30, News. At 7 p.m., WCPO 9 News. At 7:30, Extra. At 8 p.m., Jeopardy Masters. At 9 p.m., Abbott Elementary. At 9:30, The Conners. At 10 p.m., The $100,000 Pyramid. At 11 p.m., WCPO 9. At 11:30, Jimmy Kimmel. On WKRC-CBS at 2 p.m., The Talk. At 3 p.m., Dateline. At 4 p.m., Local 12 News. At 5 p.m., Local 12 News. At 6 p.m., News. At 6:30, CBS News. At 7 p.m., Inside Edition. At 7:30, Entertainment. At 8 p.m., Survivor. At 9:30 p.m., The Amazing Race. At 11 p.m., Local 12 News. At 11:30, Late Show. On channel CINCW 12.2 at 2 p.m., Equal. At 2:30, Equal. At 3 p.m., Jerry Springer. At 4 p.m., Paternity. At 4:30, Paternity. At 5 p.m., Justice. At 5:30, Justice. At 6 p.m., Neighbor. At 6:30, Neighbor. At 7 p.m., Family. At 7:30, Family. At 8 p.m., Walker. At 9 p.m., Sight Unseen. At 10 p.m., The National Desk. At 11 p.m., The National Desk. On WXIX Fox, at 2 p.m., Judge Judy. At 2:30, Judge Judy. At 3 p.m., Fox 19 Now. At 4 p.m., Fox 19 Now. At 5 p.m., Fox 19 Now. At 6 p.m., News. At 6:30, News. At 7 p.m., Wheel of Fortune. At 7:30, Jeopardy. At 8 p.m., The Masked Singer. At 9 p.m., Animal Control. At 9:30, Family Guy. At 10 p.m., Fox 19 Now. At 11 p.m., Fox 19 Now. At 11:30, Friends. On WCET PBS at 2 p.m., Antiques Roadshow. At 3 p.m., Cobra. At 4 p.m., Finding Your Roots. At 5 p.m., prehistoric road trip. At 6 p.m., BBC News. At 6:30, The Day. At 7 p.m., the PBS NewsHour. At 8 p.m., Nature. At 9 p.m., A Brief History of the Future. At 10 p.m., Nova, Bridge Collapse. At 11 p.m., Amanpour and Company. On MyNet, Channel 64, at 2 p.m., Karamo. At 3 p.m., Maury. At 4 p.m., The Steve Wilkos Show. At 5 p.m., Person, or. At 5:30, Feud. At 6 p.m., Feud. At 6:30, Feud. At 7 p.m., Bang. At 7:30, Young. At 8 p.m., Dateline, New Moon. At 9 p.m., Dateline, Deadly Desire. At 10 p.m., Local 12. At 10:30, Bang. At 11 p.m., Young. At 11:30, Men. On NBC Channel 2, at 2 p.m., Pictionary. At 2:30, Jeopardy. At 3 p.m., Dateline. At 4 p.m., First at 4. At 5 p.m., 5 on 2. At 6 p.m., News. At 6:30, News. At 7 p.m., Inside Edition. At 7:30, Jeopardy. At 8 p.m., Chicago Med. At 9 p.m., Chicago Fire. At 10 p.m., Chicago PD. At 11 p.m., News. At 11:30, Tonight. On CBS Channel 7, at 2 p.m., The Talk. At 3 p.m., Let's Make a Deal. At 4 p.m., 48 Hours. At 5 p.m., News. At 5:30, News. At 6 p.m., News. At 6:30, CBS News. At 7 p.m., Wheel. At 7:30, ET. At 8 p.m., Survivor. At 9:30, The Amazing Race. At 11 p.m., News. At 11:30, Late Show. On PBS Channel 14, at 2 p.m., Knit. At 2:30, Cooking. At 3 p.m., Guilt. At 4 p.m., Eleanor. At 4:30, Wild Kratts. At 5 p.m., Daniel. At 5:30, Rosie's. At 6 p.m., Work It Out. At 6:30, Donkey. At 7 p.m., DW News. At 7:30, News. At 8 p.m., Extreme Railways. At 9 p.m., American Masters. At 11 p.m., BBC World. At 11:30, DW News. On PBS Channel 16, at 2 p.m., Antiques Roadshow. At 3 p.m., World on Fire. At 5 p.m., DW The Day. At 6 p.m., the PBS NewsHour. At 7 p.m., BBC News. At 7:30, Europe. At 8 p.m., Nature, Grizzly 399. At 9 p.m., A Brief History of the Future. At 10 p.m., Nova, Bridge Collapse. At 11 p.m., Epic Train Journeys. On ABC Channel 22, at 2 p.m., General Hospital. At 3 p.m., Barrymore. At 3:30, Barrymore. At 4 p.m., The Kelly Clarkson Show. At 5 p.m., Judge Judy. At 5:30, Judge Judy. At 6 p.m., News. At 6:30, News. At 7 p.m., Family Feud. At 7:30, Family Feud. At 8 p.m., Jeopardy. At 9 p.m., Elementary. At 9:30, The Conners. At 10 p.m., The $100,000 Pyramid. At 11 p.m., News. At 11:30, Kimmel. On Fox, Channel 22.2, at 2 p.m., Judge Mathis. At 3 p.m., Maury. At 4 p.m., The Steve Wilkos Show. At 5 p.m., Person or. At 5:30, Feud. At 6 p.m., Feud. At 6:30, News. At 7 p.m., Bang. At 7:30, Bang. At 8 p.m., The Masked Singer. At 9 p.m., Animal. At 9:30, Family Guy. At 10 p.m., News. At 11 p.m., iCrime. At 11:30, Family. On the CW, Channel 26, at 2 p.m., Karamo. At 3 p.m., Jennifer Hudson. At 4 p.m., Mom. At 4:30, Mom. At 5 p.m., Housewife. At 5:30, Housewife. At 6 p.m., Goldbergs. At 6:30, Goldbergs. At 7 p.m., Young. At 7:30, Young. At 8 p.m., Walker. At 9 p.m., Sight Unseen. At 10 p.m., News. At 10:30, 2 News. At 11 p.m., Friends. At 11:30, Friends. On ION, Channel 43, at 2 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 3 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 4 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 5 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 6 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 7 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 8 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 9 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 10 p.m., Blue Bloods. At 11 p.m., Blue Bloods. On PBS, Channel 54, at 2 p.m., Odd Squad. At 2:30, Arthur. At 3 p.m., Baking. At 3:30, House. At 4 p.m., To Be Announced. At 5 p.m., Finding Your Roots. At 6 p.m., BBC News. At 6:30, Kentucky. At 7 p.m., the PBS NewsHour. At 8 p.m., America Outdoors. At 9 p.m., Nature, Grizzly 399. At 10 p.m., Nova, Bridge Collapse. At 11 p.m., BBC World. At 11:30, Kentucky. Now, moving on to the obituaries. Obituaries for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Name, Dempster James Allen. Age, 68. Town and state, Cincinnati, Ohio. Past, June 23rd. Arrangements, not listed. Service time, May 18th, 10 a.m. Service location, All Saints Catholic Church, St. Joseph. Internment, not listed. Name, Grote Patricia Patsy Herrick. Age, 82. Town and state, Bradenton, Florida. Past, April 25th. Arrangements, Morgan and Ney Funeral Center. Service time, service location, and internment, not listed. Name, Johnson Sr., Michael Ray. Age, 70. Town and state, Indianapolis, Indiana. Past, April 27th. Arrangements, service time, service location, and internment, not listed. Name, Keller, Sr., Donald L. Age, 92. Town and state, Cincinnati, Ohio. Past, May 4th. Arrangements, Neidhard Minge's Funeral Home. Service time, May 9th, 10:30 a.m. Service location, Bailey Place. Interment, St. Joseph New Cemetery. Name, Maddox, Mary Suzanne Sue Reneker. Age, 86. Town and State, Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Past, May 2nd. Arrangements, Kirkpatrick Funeral Home. Service time, service location, and internment not listed. Name, McCullum, Rudolph. Age, 74. Town and State, Cincinnati, Ohio. Past, April 28th. Arrangements, newcomer. Service time, service location, and internment not listed. Name, Puglisi, John. Age, 75. Town and State, Cincinnati, Ohio. Past, May 3rd. Arrangements, Gilligan Funeral Homes. Service time, service location, and internment not listed. Name, Shaljo, Carol Ann. Age, 85. Town and State, Cincinnati, Ohio. Past, April 29th. Arrangements, service time, service location, and internment not listed. Name, Smith, Betty. Age, town and state, past, not listed. Arrangements, Hodapp Funeral Home. Service time, service location, and internment, not listed. Name, Unthank, Donna Sue. Age, 68. Town and state, Deer Park, Ohio. Past, May 4th. Arrangements, Charles C. Young Funeral Home. Service time, May 9th, 1 p.m. Service location, Charles C. Young Funeral Home. Interment, Rest Haven Memorial Park. Name, Watkins Helen. Age, 94. Town and State, Springdale, Ohio. Past, April 30th. Arrangements, Voorhees and Ryan, Springdale. Service time, June 1st, 2 p.m. Service location, Maple Knoll Village Chapel. Internment, not listed. And now, moving to the horoscopes. Today's horoscopes for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Aries, March 21st to April 19th. Making gains? Financial luck comes your way as the Moon and Jupiter align. Consider ways to reinvest. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. Magnetic personality? You're praised for your charm and positivity. The compliments keep coming. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. Feeding your imagination? Your inner world is vibrant and alive. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. Today's alignment is ideal for joining groups or getting involved in your community. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Earning praise? Positive recognition at work is a morale booster. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Doing some research? The Moon's alignment with Jupiter is great for tackling schoolwork, academic projects, or spiritual studies. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. Lucky break? Prepare to receive a windfall, shared property, or resources feature. Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st. You and a partner enjoy quality time. Single? You could meet someone new today. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. Enjoying workplace camaraderie? You're an office favorite. You catch flies with honey. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Woke up on the right side of the bed? You're in a great mood. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Harmonious moments with chosen family? fortune finds you close to home. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Learning something new? The moon's alignment with Jupiter finds you trading intel with those in the know. Now turning to the etc. page. Etc. People, Kate Beckinsale is tired of speculation about plastic surgery. Kate Beckinsale is shutting down rumors that she had gotten plastic surgery done during her recent months-long hospitalization. I hate talking about this because I hate adding to this conversation, but I'm doing it because insidious bullying of any kind over time takes a toll, Beckinsale, 50, said in a post on Instagram, which also had two videos of her 20 years apart. The actor said she is tired of being accused of having had unrecognizable surgery using Botox fillers and being obsessed with looking younger ever since she turned 30. It's really such a tiresome and subtly vicious way to bully a person, Beckinsale said. Beckinsale said that she doesn't actually do any of those things, and that she has even had a plastic surgeon clarify that, but the comments don't stop. Beckinsale went on to explain that she looks different in the two videos because when she lived earlier in the UK, she was paler, would pluck her eyebrows, and had a fuller face, as most people in their late teens and early 20s do. She also said that the difference in makeup techniques contributed to the difference in her appearance. Princess Beatrice says Sarah Ferguson is clear after cancer. Princess Beatrice said her mom, Sarah Ferguson, is in the clear after battling two types of cancer in the last year. The 35-year-old daughter of Prince Andrew and the Duchess of York provided the update as a guest Monday on ITV's This Morning. She's doing really well, Beatrice informed hosts Josie Gibson and Craig Doyle. She's had a bumpy health scare last year, but no, all clear now. At 64, she's thriving. Ferguson revealed her diagnosis with early form of breast cancer in June 2023, for which she underwent a mastectomy and reconstructive surgery. Then, in January, the royal, who was married to Andrew from 1986 to 1996, went public with skin cancer diagnosis. She's been through so much, but I think, really, she's coming into her own, Beatrice said Monday. We're just reminded when any parent or individual has a health scenario, just really get the checks that you need and as early as you possibly can. Both my sister and I are so proud of her for taking those steps to get those checks. Dark Matter, Apple Plus TV, new series. Based on the popular Blake Crouch novel of the same name, this sci-fi drama follows a physicist named Jason, Joel Edgerton, who gets kidnapped into an alternate version of his life, in a reality where he's created a portal to the multiverse. An exploration of the road not taken, the series questions whether identity is malleable as the choices we make and experiences we live through, something Jason must wrestle with as he does everything he can to get back to his real life and family in Chicago. Let It Be, Disney Plus. Director Michael Lindsay Hogg's original 1970 film about the Beatles is available for the first time in over 50 years, meticulously restored. Let It Be takes viewers into the studio and onto Apple Corps London rooftop in January 1969 as the iconic foursome, joined by Billy Preston, record their Let It Be album and perform live for the final time as a group. Chicago Med, NBC 8 p.m. Ripley, Luke Mitchell, struggles to keep Sully's, Daniel Dorr, diagnosis a secret when the latter's pregnant girlfriend comes to Med for help. And Charles, Oliver Platt, and a medical student treat a bipolar artist. Abbott Elementary, ABC 9 p.m. Jacob, Chris Perfetti, scrambles to figure out how to organize a school field trip. Animal Control, Fox, 9 p.m., season finale. Frank's investigation reaches a thrilling conclusion, only for an unexpected twist to throw his victory into question. Fox has renewed Animal Control for season 3. The Amazing Race, CBS, 9:30 p.m. The Amazing Race makes its first trip to the Dominican Republic, where the final five teams must complete two roadblocks in the new episode, My Precious Cacao. Groanish, Freeform, 10 p.m. Doug, Diggy Simons, learns Bar None is being sold. Andre, Marcus Scribner, faces consequences with the Gammas. Zara, Tara Rani, plans a trip. Reginald the Vampire, Sci-Fi, 10 p.m. Jacob Batalon is back as a young vampire Reginald Andres in season 2 of this comedic horror series. Last season, Reginald finally got his life together when he was turned into a vampire. While he doesn't fit the stereotypical expectations of what a vampire looks like, he's not chiseled or classically handsome, Reginald has found his place among an unlikely cohort. Take My Tumor, TLC, 1 p.m. In The Man with the Spicy Tumor, the enormous mass on the back of Arlen's neck and head constantly oozes fluids, but surgery may prove too challenging. A tumor on Renee's shoulder and back has caused her to retreat from the public eye, impacting her job as a care pastor. Celebrity birthdays. Environmentalist TV host David Attenborough turns 98. Singer-keyboardist Tony Tenniel, 84. Pianist-composer Keith Jarrett, 79. Singer Philip Bailey, 73. Drummer Chris France, Talking Heads, 73. Drummer Alex Van Halen, 71. Actor David Keith, 70. Actor Janet McTeer, 63. Drummer David Roundtree, Blur, 60. Singer Enrique Iglesias, 49. Singer-guitarist Joe Bonamassa, 47. Actor Stephen Amell, 43. Rapper 6IX9INE, 28. As Carolyn Hex. Family pushes siblings to make amends after mother's death. Dear Carolyn, my mom passed away unexpectedly in October. One of my siblings, we are all adults with children, caused a lot of drama in the aftermath during the funeral and said hurtful things to me and the other sibling. We are both taking a long overdue break from our toxic sibling while we are grieving our mother. Family members and several of our siblings' friends keep reaching out to ask us to make amends. I don't share the details because I'm good with my decision to step away, but I don't know what to say to people without sounding defensive. It's such a painful time, and I'm frankly annoyed that it keeps coming up. Aggrieved while grieving. Dear aggrieved while grieving, understandably so, I am so sorry for your loss. For overstepping friends and relatives, the best, simplest response is some version of, I won't discuss this with you. It comes in many shades of courtesy. Thank you for your thoughts. Noted, we're all doing our best. This is between us. I'm sure you mean well. This, New Englanders, bless your heart. Then say nothing further on the subject. You can't sound defensive if you decline every one of these invitations to explain yourself. About your sibling issue. I have unsolicited advice. Your sibling is grieving too. Given how disorienting death can be for survivors, your sib's deplorable conduct could have been a twisted byproduct of grief. Now, maybe this is the last straw, and your sibling's toxicity is of long standing. If so, then I do sympathize. But because all three siblings are, under the influence of a death, effectively a judgment-impairing substance, I urge you to make any straw but this one your last. It doesn't require forgiveness you don't want to grant, nor must you commit to making amends. These would be out of bounds for me to advise anyway. The only decisive action you need is to commit to not deciding anything. Give yourself time to heal, remember. Bigger questions must wait till the heaviness begins to lift. Dear Carolyn, I am interested in your opinion on the new fad of private weddings, meaning members of the wedding party and their plus ones, immediate siblings, parents, and of course, bride and groom. no extended family or other friends. Where we live, this has become quite popular. While I am slightly offended at not being invited, I understand people can and will make their own choices regarding such a big moment in their lives. What I do have a problem with, however, is their wanting it all, meaning the showers and registering for gifts. Should I be expected to attend a party and give a gift to a couple who don't want me and many others at their special event? I think this is a little bit much. Not invited, but we want your gift. Dear not invited, but we want your gift. My opinion is that I don't have to have an opinion on this. Another opinion. Whenever that's an option, it's good for me to take it. You don't need an opinion either, of the couple or their choices. You just have to make decisions you're offered. If you don't want to go to the shower, then go. If you don't, for whatever reason, then RSVP with your regrets. If you want to, then buy a gift. If you don't want to, then don't buy a gift. Responses are required, gifts are not. And congratulatory notes are thoughtful regardless. To wish couples well on your terms. And now we have some time to read some articles from the Nation and World section. Ceasefire impasse unbreakable, U.S. says. Israeli forces block important Rafah aid route. Mohammed Salem and Nidal al-Mughrabi. Reuters. Rafah, Gaza Strip. The U.S. said negotiations on a Gaza ceasefire should be able to close the gaps between Israel and Hamas while Israeli forces seized the main border crossing in Rafah on Tuesday, closing a vital route for aid. Hamas official Osama Hamdan, speaking to reporters in Beirut, warned that if Israel's military aggression continued in Rafah, there would be no truce agreement. The Palestinian militant group accused Israel of undermining ceasefire efforts in the seven-month-long war that has laid waste to Gaza and left hundreds of thousands of its people homeless and hungry. The truce comments came as Israel invaded Rafah, a southern Gazan city where more than 1 million displaced Palestinian civilians have sought shelter from Israel's offensive throughout the tiny territory. White House spokesperson John Kirby said Hamas offered amendments on Monday to an Israeli proposal aimed at ending the impasse. The deal text, as amended, suggests the remaining gaps can absolutely be closed, he said. He declined to specify what those were. Israel on Monday said a three-phase proposal that Hamas approved was unacceptable. Kirby said mediators from Qatar and Egypt, along with U.S. and Israeli officials, were gathering in Cairo. Hamas separately said its delegation was in Cairo as well. Israel on the offensive. Israel's seizure of the Rafah crossing came despite weeks of calls that the U.S. and other nations and international bodies hoped would deter a big offensive in the Rafah area, which Israel says is Hamas fighters' last stronghold. Israeli army footage showed tanks rolling through the Rafah crossing complex between Gaza and Egypt, and the Israeli flag raised on the Gaza side. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said seizing the crossing was a very significant step toward Israel's stated aim of destroying Hamas's military capabilities. Residents reported heavy tank shelling on Tuesday evening in some areas of eastern Rafah. A Rafah municipal building caught fire after Israeli shelling, residents and Hamas media said. Medics said one Palestinian was killed and several wounded in the building, while an Israeli strike also killed two Palestinians on a motorcycle. Health officials said Abu Yusuf al-Najjar, the main hospital in Rafah, closed on Tuesday after heavy bombardment led nearby medical staff and around 200 patients to flee. Quote, "They have gone crazy. Tanks are firing shells and smoke bombs cover the skies," end quote, said Ahmad Judat, 55, a Gaza City resident displaced in Rafah. Quote, "I am now seriously thinking of heading north, maybe to the central Gaza area. If they move further into Rafah, it will be the mother of massacres," end quote, he told Reuters via chat app. Many of those in Rafah were previously displaced from other parts of Gaza following Israel's orders to evacuate from there. Families have been crammed into tented camps and makeshift shelters, suffering from shortages of food, water, medicine, and other essentials. The UN and other international aid agencies said the closing of the two crossings into southern Gaza, Rafah, and Israeli-controlled Kerem Shalom had virtually cut off the enclave from outside aid, and very few stores were available inside. Red Crescent sources in Egypt said shipments had completely halted. Quote, "These crossings are a lifeline. They need to be reopened without any delay," end quote. Philippe Lazzarini, head of UN aid agency UNRWA, said on X. Separately, Jordan said Israeli settlers attacked a humanitarian convoy on its way to a crossing in northern Gaza. The White House said it had been told the Kerem Shalom crossing would reopen on Wednesday, and fuel deliveries through Rafah would resume then too. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres appealed to Israel and Hamas to spare no effort to get to a truce deal. Quote, "Make no mistake, a full-scale assault on Rafah would be a human catastrophe," end quote, Guterres said. Panic and despair. Israel's military said it was conducting a limited operation in Rafah to kill fighters and dismantle infrastructure used by Hamas, which runs Gaza. It told civilians to go to what it calls an expanded humanitarian zone, some 12 miles away. In Geneva, UN Humanitarian Office spokesperson Jens Lerke said panic and despair were gripping the people in Rafah. "Civilians did not have enough time to prepare for evacuation and no safe route to travel," he said. "The roads are littered with unexploded ordnance, massive bombs lying in the street. It's not safe," he said. Critics of the Gaza war have urged U.S. President Joe Biden to pressure Israel to change course. The U.S., Israel's closest ally and main weapon supplier, has delayed some arms shipments to Israel for 2 weeks, according to four sources on Tuesday. The shipments, which have been delayed for at least 2 weeks, involved Boeing-made joint direct attack munitions, which convert dumb bombs into precision-guided ones, as well as small-diameter bombs. The White House and Pentagon declined to comment. The news of a delayed arms shipment was first reported by Axios over the weekend, and Politico first reported on the types of arms delayed and the reasoning on Tuesday. Without addressing whether there had been a holdup in arms shipments, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre reaffirmed that Washington's commitment to Israel's security was ironclad. Israel's offensive has killed 34,789 Palestinians, most of them civilians, in the conflict, the Gaza Health Ministry said. The war began when Hamas militants attacked Israel on October 7th, killing about 1,200 people and abducting about 250 others, of whom 133 are believed to remain in captivity in Gaza, according to Israeli tallies. Trump documents trial delayed. No date set yet. Odds it will start before election have diminished. Andrew Gounsword, Reuters. Donald Trump's trial in Florida on charges of illegally keeping classified documents after leaving office has been indefinitely postponed, a judge decided on Tuesday, greatly reducing odds he will face a jury in either of the two federal criminal cases against him before the November 5th election. Trump, seeking to regain the presidency, previously had been scheduled to go to trial on May 20th in the documents case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. But the prosecution and defense had both acknowledged that the date would need to be delayed. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, who was appointed to the bench by Trump in 2020, said on Tuesday the trial would no longer begin May 20th, but did not set a new date. Cannon scheduled pretrial hearings to run through July 22nd. Trump has pleaded not guilty to 40 federal counts accusing him of retaining sensitive national security documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida after leaving office in 2021 and obstructing U.S. government efforts to retrieve them. Trump is the Republican candidate challenging Democratic President Joe Biden, who defeated him 4 years ago. Smith faces significant obstacles to getting either federal case against Trump to trial before the election. Cannon is yet to rule on several legal issues crucial to the documents case, and has signaled support for Trump's defense on some matters. In a separate case brought by Smith involving Trump's efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss, the U.S. Supreme Court seems poised to recognize that former presidents have at least some immunity from prosecution over official actions. That outcome most likely would further delay Trump's election-related case, as lower courts determine which allegations against him are covered by that legal shield. Trump's lawyers have said a trial in the documents case should not start until after the election, but also suggested an August 12th date in response to an order from Cannon to propose a timeline for the case. Smith proposed a July start date. Trump's lawyers have worked to delay all four criminal cases he faces. Quote, "We're in this absolutely unprecedented situation where a defendant is potentially going to have the power to shut down his own prosecution," said George Washington University law professor Randall Eliason, an expert in white-collar criminal cases. Quote, "That's an argument for getting the case to trial before the election," end quote. Trump has been on trial in New York State Court since April 15th on charges he unlawfully sought to conceal hush money he paid to porn star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. He has also been charged in state court in Georgia over his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Trump has sought to portray all the legal cases against him as politically motivated. The charges in the Florida case include violations of the Espionage Act, which criminalizes the unauthorized possession of national defense information, as well as conspiracy to obstruct justice and making false statements to investigators. In an April Reuters Ipsos poll, nearly a quarter of Republican respondents and more than half of independents indicated they would not vote for Trump if a jury convicts him of a felony. If either federal case reaches a jury before the election, it would likely be in the weeks before November 5th, an outcome sure to draw accusations of election interference from Trump's legal team. Quote, "Any judge would take pause with the idea of trying a presidential candidate a month before the presidential election," end quote, said attorney Kel McClanahan, who specializes in national security issues and has represented members of the intelligence community. But a Trump win in November may mean that neither case ever reaches a jury. As president, Trump could direct the Justice Department to drop the federal charges or to seek to pardon himself. Smith's team has pushed aggressive deadlines in the Florida case, arguing that the public has a right to a speedy trial. Prosecutor Jay Bratt told Cannon during a hearing that an autumn trial would not violate Justice Department guidelines that prohibit taking investigative steps close to an election that could impact the outcome of the vote. Cannon has denied two bids by Trump to dismiss the charges, but several remain pending. She has also signaled that Trump's claims that the documents were personal records may be relevant to how she instructs the jury at a future trial, a decision that could lead to an appeal by prosecutors and more delays. Idaho seeks to revive its abortion trafficking law. Brendan Pearson, Reuters. A lawyer for the state of Idaho on Tuesday urged a federal appeals court to revive a 2023 state law making it a crime to help a minor cross state lines for an abortion without her parents' consent, which a lower court judge had blocked in November. Quote, "The law is narrow and, one would think, unobjectionable," end quote, Idaho Deputy Solicitor General Joshua Turner told the three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Seattle. It prohibits strange adults from recruiting, harboring, or transporting unemancipated minors within Idaho to procure an abortion, but only when that act is done with the specific intent to conceal it from the unemancipated minor's parents or guardians, end quote. A federal judge in Boise had blocked enforcement of the law in November while she considers a lawsuit brought by Lourdes Matsumoto, a lawyer and advocate who works with victims of sexual violence, and the Northwest Abortion Access Fund, an Indigenous Idaho alliance, which helps people in Idaho access abortion. They argued that the law interfered with their right to free speech under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Their lawyer, Wendy Olson, said the panel should uphold that order, saying the law, quote, seeks to criminalize an unclear amount of undefined assistance to minors, end quote, and amounted to regulation of protected speech and expression because it prevents plaintiffs from telling minors about getting abortions. Circuit judges M. Margaret McCown and John Owens, who were both appointed by Democratic presidents, appeared open to reviving at least part of the law. Circuit judges M. Margaret McCown and John Owens, who were both appointed by Democratic presidents, appeared open to reviving at least part of the law. Circuit Judge Carlos B., an Idaho Deputy Solicitor General appointee of Republican then-President George W. Bush, did not speak during the argument. McCown asked several questions during the argument, questioning how transporting someone could be speech protected by the First Amendment. She also asked both sides whether the part of the law against, quote, recruiting could be blocked, on the grounds that it interferes with speech simply telling minors about accessing abortions, while upholding the prohibitions on harboring and transporting. Turner said it could, while Olson said that harboring and transporting could still be protected by the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of association. Idaho bans almost all abortions, with narrow exceptions to save the mother's life and for rape or incest that is reported to police. However, it borders Washington, Oregon, and Montana, which allow them. Under its law, adults who help girls obtain abortions without parental or guardian's consent would face a minimum of 2 years in prison if convicted. The case is one of several challenging laws that criminalize helping residents travel to states where abortion is legal. The U.S. Supreme Court in 2022 overturned Roe v. Wade, the landmark 1973 ruling that had established a nationwide right to abortion. A group of Alabama healthcare providers and a fund that helps people in the state filed lawsuits last year seeking to block anyone from being prosecuted under state law for helping someone travel out of state for an abortion. The state's Republican Attorney General has suggested that Alabamans who did so could be prosecuted as criminal accomplices. Afghanistan. Cultivating poppy wars. Farmers and residents in Afghanistan's northeast staged unprecedented public protests over the weekend against a ban on opium poppy cultivation, a move met with military crackdowns by Taliban leaders, Voice of America reported. The Taliban banned poppy cultivation in early 2022, months after they took over the entire country. Their anti-narcotics campaign contributed to a $1.3 billion loss in Afghan farmers' income. After Taliban forces started destroying poppy crops in the Badakhshan province, farmers and local residents took to the streets, with social media footage showing people chanting slogans against Taliban Supreme Leader Hibatullah Akhundzada. The rare expression of public outrage was met with a violent response from security forces. Sources told VOA that law enforcement used firearms to disperse crowds and killed two people. Army Chief Kari Fazihuddin, a native of the region who investigated the incident, warned that further demonstrations would be suppressed. Meanwhile, angry residents said they were awaiting answers to their complaints. Afghanistan was once the world's largest opium poppy producer. Akhundzada's religious decree banning the plant's cultivation has aggravated the poverty levels in Afghanistan, which have increased since the Taliban retook control 3 years ago. The Taliban's ban on opium cultivation has seen the sector contract by 90%, according to a recent World Bank report, costing 450,000 jobs at the farm level. Meanwhile, Badakhshan and other nearby provinces were not controlled by the Taliban when the group led the country in the 1990s. Analysts said that the last weekend's protests signaled obstacles to the Taliban's control. Discoveries. Rise of the Protector. Earth's magnetic field has long played an important role in preserving life on the planet. Now, scientists are shedding some new light onto its early origins, Popular Mechanics reported. The magnetic field is powered by our planet's iron core and protects all life from being blasted by dangerous cosmic rays from the sun and other parts of outer space. There is still debate about when it was first formed, but a new study on iron rocks discovered the earliest known evidence of the field's existence. An international research team analyzed well-preserved rocks collected from Greenland's Isua Greenstone Belt, dating some 3.7 billion years ago. They explained iron content in these samples matters because it can lock in the direction and strength of a magnetic field when it crystallizes. To probe the magnetic information, the team first demagnetized the rocks in a lab, then remagnetized them. The findings show that the early magnetic field from the Eocene period, around 4 billion to 3.6 billion years ago, had a strength of 15 microteslas, which is nearly half as strong as today's field. The study puts the time frame around 200 million years earlier than the previous magnetic field evidence, which also brings up questions about when the earliest life forms emerged. The team suggested that life was still possible some 3.7 billion years ago, despite a weak magnetic field and extremely harsh conditions, when Earth was getting bombarded by powerful solar winds. Still, the study further reinforces the case that magnetic fields are necessary for life to emerge, and eventual increase in strength allows life forms to flourish. Italy. Tell it to the judge. Italy's right-wing government has been moving to silence intellectuals through defamation lawsuits, and the latest example is a philosopher being sued by Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's brother-in-law, according to The Guardian. The case centers on statements made in April 2023, when Agriculture Minister Francesco Lollobrigida, who is married to Meloni's sister, addressed Italy's demographic decline at a trade union conference, saying his country was at risk of, quote, ethnic replacement. Donatella Di Cesari, from Rome's Sapienza University, who has written books on the link between Nazi thinking and modern-day conspiracy theories, said on television later that day that such a statement could also be found in Mein Kampf and Nazi ideology in general. Di Cesari's remarks, however, were, quote, solely aimed at destroying a person and smearing both myself and my associates, end quote, Lollobrigida said in a court filing. He has called the statements defamatory and shameful. The professor, who will appear in court on May 15th, said that this was all part of a political strategy to sideline opponents of the right. Quote, what we are seeing here is legal proceedings against a historical comparison. The aim of defamation trials like mine is not just to intimidate, but to push left-wing intellectuals outside the public discourse. End quote. Meanwhile, the case is just one of a growing list of legal proceedings Meloni and her right-wing allies have launched against progressive pundits criticizing their political agenda. Historian Luciano Canfora is facing prosecution for aggravated defamation for saying in 2022 that Meloni was a neo-Nazi at heart, a comment that the prime minister claimed, quote, could falsify her political identity, end quote. And writer Roberto Saviani was fined $1,077 for calling Meloni and her power-sharing partner, Matteo Salvini, bastards, for crusading against ships rescuing migrants in the Mediterranean Sea. Italy hands some of the European Union's harshest sentences for defamation, up to 6 years in jail. Despite calls for reform, Meloni's administration has pushed back a debate on a bill aimed at protecting journalists and writers from defamation cases. That concludes the second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. My name is John Wells. thank you for joining me.